I am very proud to announce the final count on our bake sale that we held, the Ron Van Dam Show bake sale, where cakes and cookies and pies were sold to the public in order to raise money for the Ron Van Dam Show Foundation, which is a foundation that supports my ability to eat food and to pay for my house. The bake sale this past week, very, very proud of this, and thank you so much for your effort. The bake sale has raised $3.72. Thank you very much.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
$3.72. How am I supposed to live on that?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. A word of warning on today's program, there are profanities involved in today's show. So if you're a child or you're faint of listening, then please exit the building right now. Okay, good. It won't be a lot. As a matter of fact, I'll use all the profanities right now, and then there'll be no more ever. First of all, thanks for the money from the bake sale. I felt like opening up a GoFundMe account, but it ended up being a GoFuckMe account. Thank you very much. There's profanity number one. Profanity number two. Let's check with Jim Clambaker for a weather advisory.
Here's your winter travel advisory. Get the fuck out of New England. You gotta die.
Okay, there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, the end of the profanities. Oh! All right, fine. Kids, you can come back in the room now. I've expended all my profanity jokes, of which there were two. Now you can come back in the room and have some milk and cookies and bring your stuffed animal and hold it close to your bosom. All right? Good. Fine. Speaking of being effed by things, okay, I was good with that. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. One of the benefits of doing a national podcast such as this that hundreds of thousands of people listen to, and thank you very much for your donations. if only this wasn't free, I would be so rich. Anyway, Verizon, I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at Verizon. I'm sorry. Had I actually had Verizon's cell phone service as well, I would have canceled that immediately. Had I, the Verizon Fios, whatever the that is. Isn't it interesting? They come up with these names that mean absolutely nothing, yet it sounds like a technical term that some people in a lab made up. What is Fios? What the hell are you talking about? Ron, Fios is a fiber optic. Well, then call it Fios. What's this Fios? Where do you get that? You made up that word. Do you have Fios? No, I saw my doctor. Apparently my blood test came back clean. Well, I think you have Fios. I see a little rash on your face. You have Fios. Fios? Fios? Have you got Fios? I have Comcast, which means I have Xfinity. What the hell does that word mean? What does that mean? What's Xfinity? What is that? I've heard of Infinity, which is an infinite number of things, which goes on forever beyond your wildest imagination. But that word wasn't good enough for them. They needed to have their own word that was specific to their company. So they came up with Xfinity. And we use that as, do you have Xfinity? No, I have Fios. Well, I'm sorry. You'll live longer with Xfinity than you will with Fios. Fios is fatal. Xfinity, you have a little bit longer. I don't know what Xfinity, it's cable. Just say cable. You lay the cable lines, they come into my house. It's a freaking cable. I've seen the cable. It's running across my carpet. It's cable. No, Ron, it's Xfinity. What are you talking about? Stop it. Stop making up names. Fios. Fios, my butt. Anyway, so I have a Verizon telephone number that I've had for 20 years. I moved to another location about 10, 12 years ago, and I wanted to take my number with me because I own a few businesses. I just don't do bake sales and radio. I have businesses also. So I needed that phone number. So when I moved into an area that didn't support that exchange anymore, in order to keep that phone number, I made a deal with Verizon. They had a service that said, you can keep the number. They'll call the old number, and it'll hook up and direct to your new number. Well, thank you. Verizon sounds great. How much is that going to cost? That'll cost $20 a month. Oh, God. All right, I guess so. I mean, I'm in business. I guess you have to spend money to make money. So, okay, $20 a month, fine. Whatever. Now it's up to $45 a month. What? For what? So that's when someone calls a certain phone number, that kicks into another phone number. It directly transfers it to the other one. That's $45. What are you doing for $45? Nothing. You hooked it up to a thing. It automatically does. It doesn't cost you any money. There might be a fee to set it up. But other than that, what am I paying any money for? So I got pissed off at a point last month, and I called up Verizon after being on hold for a good amount of time. They said when I called that my approximate wait time would be 4 minutes. 20 minutes later, someone picks up the phone on the Verizon ends and talks to me, and I said, "Look, I can't afford this anymore. I want to drop this number." I mean, the hell with it. This is just stupid. I'm not paying you any more money. I'm paying you $45 a month just to have a phone number for people. I don't even want them to call me anymore. So the lady at Verizon says, "Well, let me suggest this, Mr. Van Dam." They call me that respectfully because that is my last name. They don't know me, so they couldn't call me Ron or anything like that. So she says, here's an idea. Cancel your phone number thing, fine. But for 2 months, for just $10 a month, but only for 2 months, we will continue to forward the number. The people will call your old phone number. There'll be a recording saying this number has changed. Please call the new number. We'll do that for 2 months for $10 a month, $20. I said, fine. You got a deal. I can do another $20 after spending $2 zillion with you for the past 20 years. So I get my phone bill. Yesterday, it's my Verizon bill, and there's some extra charges involved. I said, extra charges? I'm canceling. Why would they charge me more when I'm canceling? Here's what they did. They charged me that they call it the basic referral service for 2 months. That's $20. I knew that was coming. That's fine. But they said, I see another charge for $18.75 plus tax. I know you charge tax on something that isn't tangible. This is a service. How do you charge tax on a service? I don't understand that. But anyway, $18.75. And the line item is remove line service. Remove line service. I say to myself, wait a minute, are they charging me $20 to cancel? Is that what they're, for me to when I call up and say I want to change in my service and I don't want it anymore, you charge me money to get out? I can't leave unless I pay you extra money? Is that not blackmail? Do you have information that I got peed on by a Russian model? What are you blackmailing me for? I want to cancel service. You charge me to get out. This is mafia stuff. So I dial that 1-800-VERIZON, I believe is what it is. Something like that. Yeah, 1-800-VERIZON. Call them up. They're very nice. And after waiting a decent amount of time, the phone person gets on and I say, look, you know, I see that there's a charge on my bill for $18.75 to remove myself from your services. You're charging me to go elsewhere. You're charging me not to be charged anymore. I said, obviously that's a mistake. And I'd like it rectified, please. She says to me, that charge is correct. I said, what? I said, you're telling me every time someone calls up and makes a little change to their service, you charge them $20? Yes, that's a change of service fee. So if I refused to pay this $18.75, then you would continue to bill me and you wouldn't remove my service. That's right, Mr. Van Dam. What if I didn't pay that? Well, you have to pay that. But I'm not agreeing to being charged a removal fee. But we charge a removal fee. I said, you can't do that. You can't charge me money to stop doing something. That's like getting the New York Times delivered to your house, and then you call up and you say, I don't want the New York Times anymore. Okay, no problem. That'll be $75 for a removal fee. What? Yes, for us to stop it, you're going to have to give us $75. What are you doing? You can't do that. You can't make up an arbitrary number and charge people to stop doing business with you. She said, oh, yes, we can. Well, I'm not a violent man, although I will admit I had a paperclip in my hand as I was talking to her, and that paperclip was mangled pretty well. And perhaps I imagined that paperclip was her face. Perhaps, maybe, that's a violent thought. Well, I'm not through with them yet. After the show today, I'm going to call them back, and I'm going to create a brouhaha. I'm going to ask for a supervisor who obviously will at the end of the conversation say, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do to help you.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast. If you want it, anytime I can give it. But you better hurry, cause it may not. If you want it, here it is, come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
I may make a motion picture about this, Ron versus Verizon. There'll be a legal case. I will take them to court and I will sue them for an Xfinity amount of dollars. And I will demand the return of all monies that people paid to Verizon in order to stop their service, that they all be refunded with penalties. That's what I'll do. I'll scare the hell out of them. Crazy. I wish I could do business like that. Do you not want to listen to the show anymore? That'll be $300. I'm not paying $300, Ron. Oh, yes, you are. That's my policy.
This is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender, but I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's new favorite restaurant.
Here we go. It's called...
It's Headshots. Jesus, give me a minute, would you?
Sorry.
Hey, do you love calamari? Then you need to come to Headshots this month for our Carnival of Calamari. That's right, we got tons of great recipes all made with delicious chicken.
Calamari.
Calamari. You gotta try our famous 1-2 punch pasta loaded with shrimp.
Also says calamari.
Calamari. How about a nice beef lo mein piccata? And our spicy school bus fried diavolo? Forget about it. You've never had calamari until you've had the Eiffel Tower at Headshots during our carnival of I Could Have Knocked Joe Frazier on His Ass back in the day.
Oh my God.
Come in and ask for me, Bobby Calamari. Bobby Headshots. I'm the guy that owns the place.
I don't know if calamari is squid or octopus, but there's tentacles involved. They're tiny little octopuses. They're octopi. Octopussies. That's what Trump said he could have any time he wanted. I don't know if it's calamari or octopussy. I'm not sure which it was, but I get confused. He confuses me. I actually went to a restaurant about a year ago. I've been there since, but about a year ago. And I had never had calamari before that I knew of. So I go to this restaurant and I want the calamari. And I craved it. I don't know why. Maybe I was pregnant again. So they bring it out to me. And this calamari was like very lightly breaded to the point where you could see... It was, I'm eating little octopuses here. I mean, I'm eating squids and octopuses. You could see the tentacles and the little head and everything. When I had calamari previously, it was fried calamari and it looked like maybe fried clams or something with some tomato sauce and marinara. Just couldn't really tell what it was. And it was tasty, you know, a little chewy, a little tasty. It was not so bad. This calamari was basically, they take the octopus and they say, here, eat it. It's just, it was very lightly breaded. And all of a sudden, it wasn't that appetizing anymore. If it was diced or something, I wouldn't have known what it was. It would have been delicious. But I'm just looking at animals here sitting in my plate, and I'm supposed to put them in my mouth. It was very odd. I don't know if it was octopus or squid or what the hell. It looked like a little starfish is what it looked like. But I never thought, when I was a little kid, I never thought when I grow up, I'm just going to be eating some octopus. I mean, like, what? You don't eat that stuff. That swims in the ocean. That's the stuff that you swim away from. I've eaten some strange things in my life, and I know you have too. We're talking about food here. It's been an interesting life of food. I went to a thing in Abington, Massachusetts about 15 years ago, I guess it was, at least 15 years ago. It's called a Beast Feast. And it was held in a restaurant, and this guy that really had an affinity toward eating wild game, and I'm not talking about Monopoly and Clue and stuff, I'm talking about like wild game, like animals. And it was, I think it was like $24, $26, something like that, some obscure number. and you would have little tastes, and this guy would bring in all these foods already prepared, you know, and you try, it'd be sampling of all these things. It would be wild boar, calamari was like one of them, but it was like a larger piece of it. Oxtail, which I've had in soup, but never just on a tail. There was something that was a penis of something. I don't know what, but it was a penis of something. Or maybe it wasn't the penis. Maybe it was the testicles. One way or the other, it seemed like it was disrespectful. It just seemed disrespectful. I mean, if my balls were on a plate and they gave somebody else a knife and fork, I would hope the other people would say, no, those are Ron's balls. I can't do that to him. Even if he's not attached to them anymore, I can't do that. That's, what would people say? What would they tweet? It would be disgusting. So they had all these odd things, alligator, which in some countries and in some parts of this country, they eat alligator. I kind of thought, well, is that going to be a little scaly? Is that going to like make my throat sore? Well, I don't think you're actually eating the whole alligator here. I think it's the meat of the alligator. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not. Anyway, I thought I'd just throw that in to kill some time. What do you think? You can talk about food, and when you talk about that kind of food, it doesn't make people real hungry. You know, if you talk about pizza, everybody goes, oh, when the show is over, I'm going to go get a slice of pizza. That sounds wonderful. I'm going to eat a whole pie. When you're talking about alligator meat, it's not like, oh, man, I can't wait to have some alligator meat now. Ron just talked about that. How about his testicles? How about, like, chowing down on one of those babies, huh, with a little oyster sauce? You're talking now. Now you're talking. All right, fine. That's enough. We're going to talk to an author right now who has written a very interesting book. The Vietnam War was always controversial. It continues to be controversial. This book is an interesting twist on someone that actually went through that mind jungle, so to speak, back in the day. Let's do this here. James Dennison joins us now. He's an author and a very interesting person. Thanks for being here, Jim. You're on the West Coast, I understand.
Actually, I'm in Hawaii.
Oh, that's about as far West Coast as you can get, I guess.
There you go.
Okay, good. Yep. Very nice. Okay, very interesting book. This is a memoir-like novel, and we're talking about the Vietnam War, and as you put it, both love and war. Vietnam War, one of the most understood entities in our country's history, as far as I'm concerned.
So, can you say that again?
Yeah, the Vietnam War is an unresolved discussion point. So much controversy involved with that, and you, I understand, actually did serve in that war.
Yeah, all of 1967 is in combat infantrymen. Yes.
Yeah, and you had a wonderful life here. You were involved with a young lady, and then all of a sudden you were off into this other world.
Yeah. Yeah, like many of us.
Yeah, yeah. What prompted you to want to write this novel?
My son Christopher passed 12 years ago driving in Carlsbad, California. And I hooked up with a clairvoyant, Uki McKessick, who connected me with him. He advised me, enjoy your life and go west. Huh. And as soon as I saw Honolulu Bay, I felt spiritually renewed and wrote the book.
Okay. So you did this while you were in Hawaii, then?
Yes.
Okay. The character in your novel, does it mirror your experiences?
The first 50%, you know, I did end up in the hospital with a few shrapnel wounds, but nothing very serious, but I knew of other guys that had similar experiences and derived from that.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, so tell me about the character in this novel.
Well, he's a brought up a conservative Catholic in Chicago, you know, higher on Hale Bay and this, that, and the other. The other thing believes everything the government was telling them. Uh-huh. Communism had to be stopped, you know, the old rhetoric.
Yes. Were you yourself questioning anything as you were going along?
No. In 66, when I got drafted, everything was rah rah rah.
Yeah.
By 68, it was all changed.
Yeah. While you were still in the service, it all changed?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, was there a feeling that you had of non-support, or were there questions in your mind?
No, because that didn't really start till, I mean, it wasn't full blown till after the Tet Offensive, and I was already back, and I was still in the Army, but back in the States.
Right.
And our main objective, you know, the military is very good at brainwashing, and you're fighting for your buddy, you're not fighting for the cause.
Yeah. So when you got back, how many years did you serve?
Just the two I was drafted.
Okay. And what did things change for you when you came back into society, when you saw that there was such a different attitude here?
Oh yeah, you know, what was it all worth? What was the point?
Right.
Besides that, in order to survive combat, you're subconsciously, your emotional spine gets severed, so you have no real feeling, and you want revenge and take it out on whoever you can.
Yeah. What were your feelings when you did come back? Was it anger, frustration?
All of the above. Yeah, you name it. You know, that's all part of PTSD.
Yeah. And how did your life come back into either yourself or the character? I mean, how did life come back in any normality?
Well, I had a supportive family, and then a good gal that supported me and got back into a normal, at least outwardly normal functioning life.
Yeah. Now, one phase of the novel, which I find a fascinating novel, which I don't think happened to you, is that the main character in the book falls in love with the nurse that is taking care of him when he's injured.
Right.
And that woman turns out to be a someone other than what he thought she was.
Yeah, she's actually a VC spy who's in love with the head commander of the VC in the Mekong Delta.
Wow, which is not what happened to you.
No, but there were guys that did fall in love with their nurses, and you know, who knows what they, you know, there were a lot of spies around.
There were. See, I wasn't aware. So, did the military men understand that was a possibility or not?
They may have understood it, but they're so lonely and depressed. They really don't care.
Yeah. Well, that can happen in normal life here too.
Exactly.
Right. So, I'm curious, Jim. Where are you at these days? What you doing besides writing?
Well, I live in the Garden Island of Kauai, and I do some exercise and fight the women off, you know.
Yeah, which is a full-time job, so you know that's
yeah.
It gets kind of crazy. You sound pretty cool. May I ask how old you are?
I'll be 72 in April.
Oh, you sound like you're in your 40s. I mean, obviously that's not possible historically, man, you have a very young, very quick mind. That's
pretty cool. I got involved with Buddhism after my son passed. It keeps you pretty optimistic and whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So, are you working on another novel, another piece?
Yeah, well, I wrote one other novel, Immigrant, about an Irishman that comes to Chicago to get away from socialism, realizes the unions are just as socialized.
Yeah.
Marries the boss's daughter, does very well. There's elements of the IRA, the mafia, the Catholic Church, Chicago politics, whatever. And now I've even started a sequel to my first novel called Survivor, Love Thy Enemy Redux, which has to do with the Paris...
Wow.
Peace talks and the delays and the traitorism of our leaders.
Wow. So you take actual experiences that people probably had, and you kind of make them a little, you bring them above the top, and you throw some intrigue into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Yes.
Do you visit the States much anymore?
I go back about every 3 years for Vietnam reunions. That's about it.
Yeah, very cool. Well, you sound happy. Sound good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So the book's available everywhere?
Well, it's on Amazon.
Amazon's fine. That's where everything is. That's where it is anyway. Survivor, Love Thy Enemy.
Yes.
And it's, again, available on Amazon. The author is James Dennison. And it is a fascinating story. And I do recommend that for some good reading. It's a pleasure speaking to you, Jim. You sound like a great guy.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Okay, you take care now. Bye-bye. Bye. Hawaii, huh? Ukakaluka. I've never been to Hawaii, but I know that all the streets are named after Hawaiian things, and you can't ever pronounce it or understand where you are. Yes, you go down Ukakaluka Boulevard, you take a right on Flakatamaka, and then a left on Ulata, and then continue straight around the Hublalula Rotary to the Alalamakitala Expressway. Get off at exit Dobablablithiva. Continue on La Sakalalala Boulevard. I would never be able... How do you even read that GPS stuff? How do you even get anywhere on that island of love? Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.